A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Two Cups of Tea. I'm Chris Heath, and today I'm up in the Wirral near Elmsmere Port. And with the help of a large pot of tea and some biscuits, I'm about to hear the life story of another older legend in her golden years. Here's a few choice words to get you in the mood.
I'm writing to your mother, what shall I say? And I said, I want to go home. She said, well, you can't, the war started. At the old house, we had secret panels, and he knocked on one, and the next one opened. And I sat on, and I said, Tina, went down. There was nothing there, there was just the top. And I was in a hole with my knees up like this, trying to talk to them.
Can you remember what the homecoming was like when you came back for good?
My sister said to me, what will we call my mother? She didn't know what to call her.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah, what will we call her?
So let's go in and meet 85-year-old Maureen. She grew up in Liverpool and also Wales as an evacuee before becoming a nurse in 1948, the same year the NHS first started. She's a born storyteller and had me fascinated from the word go, not least because she makes amazing tomato soup. Anyway, here comes the cheesy title music. Oh, it's a lovely cup of tea, and you've even brought biscuits as well.
Yes, there they are.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, you've got a Tunnock's wafer.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yes.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Well, I'll save that for a suitable part of the conversation.
Yes.
So, tell me about you. Now, we're here in Elmsmere Port at the moment,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes.
But where did it begin for you? Where did life begin?
I was born in West Kirby. And it was the period, 1932, when there was the slump, and my father hadn't got work. He was a butcher, but also a mechanic, a bit of a jack of all trades, I think. And he managed to get a job at Liverpool Crossville Bus Depot,
yeah,
in Edge Lane for £3 a week.
Yes. Right.
So we moved to Liverpool. I would be about, my sister was born in Liverpool, I'd only be one-ish.
Yeah.
She was born in Colwyn Road in Liverpool. And then we only had gas lights. You know, mantles.
Well, that's back when you used to have lamplighters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, lamplighters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to like to watch them because if I was crying, the colour effect, you know, if I was crying about something,
yeah,
I liked to look through the window because the tears had the effect of colours. It was strange, really,
yeah,
on the lamps, on the
gas
lights.
Oh, like when you're half kind of squinting,
yes,
looking at,
yes,
the, looking,
yes,
through your tears at the,
yes,
lamplights. What colour were the lights?
Lemony, very yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, when they were lit. They were white when they weren't.
Yeah.
Because I think they were the same gas lamps.
Well, yes, so you used to have the guys who used to go around,
yes,
and light the mantles.
That's right, with a long...
So instead of light now, when they just come on as soon,
yes,
as it gets dark,
no,
you had a little guy went around with a big stick.
And I think he was a... He used to call people in the morning to get them up.
Oh, really?
He
was
round
at the right time to turn them off?
Yes.
And at the same time, he'd double up and do like an,
yes,
alarm call?
Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes. And then we moved. My mother saw the house to let up the road.
Yeah.
Abergele Road.
Yeah.
That's right. We moved from Fort Colwyn to Abergele Road because it had electric lights. And from there, I went to Birchfield Road School when,
yeah,
I was five. And it had its own swimming pool. And somebody,
wow,
said...
Indoor or out?
Indoor.
Wow!
And there were orangey-coloured bricks round.
Yeah.
halfway up. They were brownie orangey bricks. And at seven, you could go in the pool and learn to swim.
So I bet all the kids were in, you know, in the year below when they're all the six-year-olds, we just kind of couldn't
waiting.
Wait.
Waiting. Well, it was yes, I didn't get in it, actually, because I was evacuated. And,
oh, no.
Yes.
So you're waiting
to start swimming.
And then you got evacuated when the war started.
Yes. And I started school when I was five at Birchview Road. I believe it's still there now. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
But somebody told me it was still there. And still had a pool, but I can't see it still being there. But that's what I was told.
Yeah.
So in the class, I was bullied even at that age.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why?
Because the teacher said, somebody in this class is going to get a present at the end of the week because they've got the most gold stars. And I did have a lot of gold stars, but I didn't think it was me that was getting the present.
Yeah.
And then she announced it was me. So there was a little girl who was very jealous. And I got, of all things, which I can't ever face again, a white and pink sugar mouse. And they were
With the little string tails.
Yes.
Oh,
and I ate them. I never could face them again.
What, because of the bad memories of being bullied for being?
No, I think it was the sweetness of them.
Well, they are just sugar lumps, basically.
Terrible.
It's just that even the pink ones.
That was my present. Anyhow, the little girl who was a twin was very pretty. Went to the teacher who had gone to told them to keep quiet in the class and said I'd stood on a chair and I hadn't moved. So the teacher sent for me and I didn't go because I said I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And when I did go, she shoved me in the corner and said, don't you disobey me, you know. So I never forgot that.
Yeah.
The girl bullying me. And shortly after, she caught her finger in a double door that closed and she had to go to the hospital. She lost. And I thought it was a way of it coming back to her.
Well, that's karma, isn't it?
As young as it was, I thought that.
Yeah. They say he doesn't pay his debts with money.
Then we got a note when I was seven, the year I was seven, that I would have started to swim, to take home during the holidays. Well, I think, we were given the note. It must have been as we broke up. And it said they were having a trial run for evacuation in case the war broke out.
Oh, so in case the war hadn't broken out?
No.
But this was a trial run?
Yes, on the 1st of September. And I was seven and my sister was six.
So you were that close from jumping in the pool?
Yeah, never got
that's good. And you never did?
No, oh, not there, but I did later.
Do you know what? I bet as a little kid, I bet you were more upset about that than war breaking out.
I was really at the time. Anyhow, the headmaster, Mr. Dawson, I remember his name, sent us home with letters, and my sister and I. And we thought it was going to be a holiday.
Yeah.
You know, camping. He said we'd be camping in a field. It was a trial run, the 1st of September. My mother said, you're too young, you can't go. Had a little brother who couldn't go, obviously, he wasn't to school.
Yeah.
So we cried. We wanted to go. We thought it was going to be a marvellous holiday.
Yeah.
She said, all right, you can go. You'll be back on Sunday.
So it was just for a few nights?
It was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Sunday.
And this was what year?
1939.
Right.
So on the Sunday.
Yeah.
No, we go to the station and my mother had to go and buy. We had all our clothes put in a case, a gas mask each. Yeah. And a carrier bag with evaporated milk, biscuits, a crayon book, crayons. Something else. I can't remember the other
thing. All the stuff you take on a long journey just for
no, like and they gave us that from school.
Oh, like a goodie bag.
A goodie bag.
Oh, right.
And it was a carrier bag with handles.
Yeah.
And we had our case. Oh, my mother had to go and get a tin mug, which she hadn't got tin mugs, and a tin plate because we were camping.
Oh, like the old white and blue enamelly ones.
I think it was enamel anyhow.
Yeah.
She had to run and get that as we were going to the station.
Yeah.
And we went to Edge Lane station. There was a steam train and there was loads of children with their gas masks and everything, all excited to think we were going on this fantastic weekend. So off we go and we get to Prestatyn.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Prestatyn then to begin with. And we go into this field where there's all tents. We hadn't been there a quarter of an hour when we were standing by the gate and there was two other little girls with us. There was four of us, Audrey and I, and Kathleen and Mary.
Yeah.
They were older than us, slightly older. And this car comes in and it had a figure on the front and it was a big black car. And the lady comes out of it. There was a man driving it with a dark clothes on. And this lady jumps out of the car and she had a flouncy dress on, like it's chiffon and eau de bain,
yeah,
with flowers on and a big hat.
Yeah.
And she said, I'll have these four little girls. It was us standing because we were in that place. And it was these two, and my sister and I. And we were taken, we were the first to be picked just because of the position we were in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said, I'll have these four little girls.
Obviously, you look the loveliest, is what I would say.
I don't know about that. But anyhow, we got in the car.
Yeah.
And they...
That makes it sound like a car boot sale.
I know. It was ridiculous, yeah, really. They were just picking who they wanted. But we were the first. Now, my cousin who went was evacuated said he was the last, and most people were the last.
Oh, no one wants to be the last,
I know, but
they?
He said most people aren't, because I always said we were the first. I don't think you believe me, but it was absolutely true. Yeah. My sister would confirm. But her memory's not quite as good as mine, really.
Yeah.
She was younger.
Right, yes.
So there's parts she doesn't...
Of course, yeah.
But I remember and she doesn't. And... we were taken to this gorgeous house in Marine Drive in Prestatyn, yeah, huge house. We wondered what we'd come to because we'd come from a terraced house in Liverpool. And we go in and we were in like a little sitting room and there was a breakfast room. I mean, it was so big and this big garden and we went out in the garden the next morning. That was Saturday. And then they said, you can crane in the other room. So we sat craning. And this man who'd been driving the car came in and he had a striped waistcoat and another jacket over it. I think he was a driver or a butler. I don't think it was her husband.
Wow.
Didn't get a chance to really...
So he looked like staff.
He looked like a staff.
Yeah.
And he said, your breakfast is ready. We went in and we had this fantastic breakfast.
Yeah.
A real fry up and everything, toast. And then they took us out somewhere. I can't remember where we went, but they took us out somewhere, yeah, in the car, bought us an ice cream. And then on the Sunday when we came down for breakfast, she was crying and she said...
This is the woman in the big flouncy,
yes,
chiffon dress.
Yes,
yeah.
She was crying. She said, we've got something to tell you. We've got to leave our house. The war has started. So that was the third on the Sunday.
So what did she say that...
She said she had to leave her house and go to the country. They were obviously quite wealthy.
Right.
The soldiers were having her house. Does that sound feasible?
Yes, they would have been billeted.
Yes.
Yeah.
The soldiers had to have her house, she,
yeah,
said. We had to, and we had to go. So the soldiers...
Well, a big house like that, I imagine, had lots of spare rooms.
And she probably had other property, you see.
Yeah.
And they were going to somewhere...
So she had the option.
Couldn't take us out of that area, yeah, evidently. Well, I would think so. I would think we were... come with the school, we would have to stay in that area.
Right, yeah, that makes
Prestatyn.
Sense. Because you'd all go back on the same coach or whatever.
Well, we would have done. We,
yeah,
never got back for 4 years.
4 years you were there?
Terrible.
So from what age to what age were you there? You were...
7 till 11.
That's such a big part of your
it
childhood.
Was terrible. Yeah, I think we were deprived a lot, really. We were deprived terrifically after the third move.
So where after you went from
then the
posh lady,
yes,
where did you go next?
We then went to a family in Caradoc Road in Prestatyn.
Mm.
And they were Michael and Mary, very friendly.
Mm.
He had the donkeys on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That must have seemed like a dream.
Well, it did, but we never got washed, you see. We were playing mud pies all day and we never got washed and we were as black as coal and what we'd come with...
Mm.
Disappeared, really, because it was put on their little girl. They had Mary and Michael as well. They called the children the same names as them.
Right.
And we all slept in one bed. And I wet the bed, obviously, and he wet the bed. So you can imagine the state it was by 2 weeks. We'd never been washed. And a little, as we moved, the day after we moved, a lady came and we were playing in the garden.
Yeah.
It was just mud. It wasn't a garden, really.
Right, yeah.
It was just mud, and we were making mud pies.
Right.
And this lady came and she said, I'm writing to your mother, what shall I say? And I said, I want to go home. She said, well, you can't, the war started. I can remember, I'm sure she was a health visitor and I ended up a health visitor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, strange, really. She said, you can't, there's a war on. So off she goes. Well, she came
back.
I bet
you were nicer when you were a health visitor than she was.
Yeah, she was very nice. Anyhow, 2 weeks later, she comes back.
Yeah.
Must have been suspicious of something. And we weren't badly treated. We were fed.
Mm.
But they got us up one night, and my sister was a bit frightened because he was shooting peas. He was having his dinner across the table, and her being that much younger, she was a bit nervous about him. And they took us to the mountains, and I think up the hills, up the mountains, near Gwaneska, a little village. And I think they stole a horse. I just had a feeling that there was something involved there.
Oh, so it was a midnight flit to go yes. and steal a horse
yes,
and then come
I think
back?
So. I think they did. You know, I'm not sure, but the horse appeared at
the next
the
morning?
No, well...
Oh, at the beach with the donkeys?
With the donkeys.
Right.
They were very good to us. Mm. They weren't unkind. They never hit us and they fed us, you know. But
you just didn't get washed much?
We never got washed, no. Right. And everything disappeared, all the clothes we'd come with. So this health visitor reappears. Well, she mightn't be a health visitor, but she was in navy blue uniform, which she used to wear. She comes back and she said, look at this child's neck. And it was my neck. It was black. And look at her hair. We were walking, literally. Mm. She said, I can't leave them here, which was right, I suppose. Mm. But we were happier there, I'll tell you. So she takes us then to a lady further up the road, a Mrs. Pierce, who was very good-looking, curly, auburn hair,
mm.
but not a nice person. And she took the four of us. Well, the two other girls didn't stay long. They went.
So it was just you and your sister?
Yeah. And, my
and
mother,
what's your sister's name?
Audrey. And my mother contacted Mr. Dawson, said she wanted to bring us home. They told him not to visit, you see, for a month.
Yeah, because you wouldn't get settled in then. Yeah.
Well, in three changes, we wouldn't have done anyhow,
no, yeah,
really.
Exactly.
So they said, if we'd have stayed at the first one, we'd have been all right.
Mm.
Anyhow, my mother wrote and said she wanted to bring us home, and then the headmaster sent her a letter and said, do you want to take them home to have them killed? Because Liverpool, you see, was being bombed yeah. by then. And we lived in Liverpool. So they moved out because the road was bombed.
Yeah.
They went, they were all right. They moved out, moved to our auntie's in Morton,
mm.
in a place called Old Hall Farm, which my auntie and uncle and grandfather and half-brother, there were seven of them there, mm. and they couldn't take us in, you see.
So there wasn't room.
Wasn't room, but my mother said they could have made room. She always said afterwards. Anyhow, after that, Mrs. Pierce, she put us in a corner like that,
yeah,
with a round table to have our meals. My sister and I, we never ever sat with that with her and her two girls.
Yeah,
she had two nice girls actually, but they sat at a different table.
Mm.
They didn't eat the crusts. We ate everything because we just got two sandwiches of tea.
Yeah.
For breakfast.
So did you get a different tea from the other?
Yes.
Oh, that's not good.
Terrible.
That's not nice.
It wasn't nice. It wasn't nice. It wasn't. She was. She only took us for the money, I know.
Because she got a stipend.
I think it was 7 and 6 a week.
Right.
I vaguely remember that, but I might be wrong
yeah.
about the figure.
But roughly,
but she
yeah.
got paid for each child, and she took the four, while the two didn't stay. So then she took two lodgers in.
Yeah.
And it was only two bedrooms. I don't know where they slept. They probably slept in the front room, those two. You know, she might have made it into...
Mm.
Anyhow, apart from that, she never fed us. Breakfast was porridge, and then you had nothing till dinner time, and it was everyday sheep's head soup with just a couple of little veg. And we used to have to stand outside at the mangle and do the veg.
Mm.
What
is sheep's head soup? It's not actually a sheep's head, is it?
It's sheep's head in the
soup.
Oh,
I thought that was like a name for something. No. It was like cauliflower because it was woolly.
It's clear. It's clear by the time it's... And it was just like drinking. I mean, we ate it because we were hungry.
Yeah.
So that was our dinner. I can't ever remember having a cake or biscuit ever in 4 years there.
Mm.
Yeah, so we had this sheep's head thing every day. And we used to have to clear the table and do the veg outside. We couldn't do. And when we arrived, the worst thing was when we arrived, she wouldn't let us go in till she'd combed our hair. And because they probably told her
yeah.
that we hadn't, you know, lice.
Yeah.
And she said, you must have been like this when you left Liverpool. Well, it was only 3 weeks by then.
Mm.
And I said, we weren't. Well, my sister never said anything. She didn't back me up.
Yeah.
I said, we weren't. We had all new things. She said, I don't believe you. You must have been like this. Well, with nits in 10 days, they've hatched anyhow.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was 3 weeks by then.
Yeah.
You know, we were already alive by the time. You only get a live one on you and that's it.
Yeah, that was it. Game over.
Yeah.
So how often did you get to see your mum and dad?
Well, in the beginning,
all?
About every month once. And
oh,
she
okay.
would never let them in the house. They came at Christmas time that
really?
Year.
Really?
Yeah. She used to make them take us to the park. And we sat on a seat in the park. My mother used to be looking through my hair.
Mm.
I can remember that bit. They told her not to come too often because we were always so upset, I suppose. Really.
Mm. Yeah, when it came time to them leaving and you staying, that
yes.
must have been the wrench.
Yes, that was the part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we played out all day at the park most of the days, and I made, in the bushes, I made like a little house where I used to brush it out with knee, with sticks, you know, make my own little brush.
Playing house in the
yes,
bushes.
Yes, playing
yeah.
house, really. Well, anyhow, next door was a lady whose husband was a prisoner of war very quickly, and she had 4 children.
Mm.
And she asked me to look after them. Well, the eldest was 4, Bertie was 4. Albert was 3. The little girl was just over 1. The baby was 6 weeks old.
Yeah.
And he'd become a prisoner of war, so she was only young and attractive, though I didn't associate that at the time. And she got in with soldiers. And she used to ask me to look after the children and she'd clear off. But
oh,
I got
I see.
Fed when I was there because I was feeding the children.
Right, yeah, of course.
As young as I was feeding the children.
Yeah.
But I went to the park.
So you were how old when you were looking after them?
8. 4 children under 4.
My God.
Honestly, I mean, when you think about it.
If you think about what people are like when they're 8-year-old kids now, rather than not only leaving you alone at 8, but leaving you alone with 4 kids under 4.
And she said, go to the park.
Oh, my God.
Well, she was away all morning and the baby was screaming in the pram, the little one. I didn't know what to do. I had an empty bottle because it had had a bottle when I took her out. And then, so I went to the fountain and filled it with cold water, didn't know what, and gave her a bottle of cold water, absolutely cold, out of the fountain. She drank it. And then often she'd ask me to stay the night and she'd bring somebody home.
Right.
For the night.
So the kids didn't bother...
Me? Bother her.
Yeah.
But one did wake up, and it was in my room, and so she brought the bottle and she stamped it on the side and just said, will you feed the baby? And I was half asleep. And the baby was sick, because I probably wasn't okay. And I had a dress I didn't like there, and I wiped it up with that so I didn't have to wear it. I mean, I was crafty, really.
Yeah. And was that the last place you stayed?
Yes, for 4 years.
Yeah.
Most of the 4 years was there. A lady up the road, I used to shop for her, used to go for her bread and her rolls. And she said, her name was Annie Parry. I thought she might have, I don't know, but looking back, I think she might have drank a bit or two.
Mm.
And she said to me once, you know, we all know in the street that Mrs. Pierce starves you both. We know all about it. But they didn't do anything about it. I was going around bins at school. We only had school in the morning and in the afternoon because we went to 3 different schools there. The Pavilion, it was our last school, down at Prestatyn Beach, and it had a swimming pool and that's where I learned to swim. Because in the morning we had lessons and in the afternoon there was tea dances for the soldiers.
Mm.
So we could go in the pool then. So that's how I learned to swim.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes. And at the church, this was terrible, Red, but we were so hungry that we'd go in the morning and I'd found a cupboard there where there was biscuits. They must have done biscuits and tea.
Mm.
And I was stealing the biscuits. It was terrible, really.
Given the circumstances, I don't think there's anyone who would think less.
Oh, I thought it was terrible afterwards. But I used to take the packet that was left and they thought the mice had had them and it was me. And then it wouldn't go into the afternoon. I'd go up the hills to the Gunesca and eat the biscuits to survive, really.
Yeah.
We, you know, how we did survive. The only time she ever went to feed me once, I'd been to the doctor's, I wasn't very well, and he said I had to go to bed. I think it was like rheumatic fever, so I was in bed a long time.
Mm.
And she looked after me then. And she brought me, because I wasn't eating, because I had too sore a throat, she brought me salmon sandwiches and brought the lady over the road to see me for some reason. And then when she gave it, I couldn't eat them. So it was on a slopey roof. So I opened the window and threw them out because I knew I'd get into trouble if I didn't eat them.
Yeah.
And the only time I could have had something decent.
Well, salmon sandwiches, that was a cut. That was a cut above.
I couldn't believe it after not having. And I mean, it might have only been. I just couldn't. She must have opened a tin.
I wonder if she brought in the woman from over the road to so say, she could see
say,
you eating.
They've been
yeah, look,
talking.
Look, you see.
Yes.
I'm not mistreating them. No.
And some of the kids at school had packed lunches. Mm. And they, in their packed lunch, one boy, and one thing I couldn't stand was beetroot. I love it now, but I hated it when I was young. I used to say, take that off the table.
Isn't it funny how your taste buds change?
Yes, they must have.
So you hated it, though?
I hated the beetroot, and I said, this little boy, he always had cheese and beetroot sandwiches, and he couldn't eat them all, and he threw them in the bin.
Yeah.
And when they weren't looking, I went in the bin, got them out, took the beetroot off, and had the cheese. It was to survive, and we were hungry. And another time, she sent us to Blackberry, and we always had to be in by a certain time, and she said, while you're there, if you see any apples in anybody's garden, get them. So off we go, my sister and I, to get these blackberries. And we got quite a few and it was getting dark.
Mm.
And we tried to get them out of somebody's orchard and it's heard us and chased us. So then we went up to the convent at the top of Prestatyn Hill.
Yeah.
And we were getting them and the Mother Superior or somebody like that came out.
Yeah.
And we flew and my sister and I hid behind the bushes and she sent for the police and we was praying like this. In the bushes, saying, please don't let her get us, you know, don't let the policeman get us. Anyhow, eventually he went and I heard her say it'll be those from Liverpool, which was true. I heard her say that.
Oh, my God.
So eventually we flew and we thought we'd be in trouble. It was pitch black because it was September.
Mm.
She'll go mad. But when we got in, she was that delighted that we got the apples. But she never said a word.
Really?
Just went to bed, yes. Don't remember ever having any in them, but maybe we did, maybe she did. Never had a roast dinner or anything like that, ever.
Oh.
In all those years.
Can you remember what the homecoming was like when you came back for good?
Oh, yes. My sister said to me, what will we call my mother? She didn't know what to call her.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah, what will we call her? And I said, oh, Mum. And she said, oh, won't I call her Mrs. P, like we call Mrs. Pierce? She just couldn't get there. But we didn't. I mean, the homecoming was nice because we, and my father always said, you came home like little mice, but you didn't last that long like that.
Yeah.
You know, sitting each side of the fire when they had a doll ready for us. I was doll mad, terrible. And she wouldn't let me have them in the house. And often the boys in the park were throwing dolls about and they'd give me them in the end because they knew I was so fond of dolls.
Yeah.
It was like babies. I was passionate about babies.
Yeah.
And even when I was four, we used to go over to my grandfather in Morton. As we passed Alderhay, I used to say, I can remember saying, I'm going to be a nurse and work there because there was a balcony with beds on with red blankets. There were children with TB because I went to work there eventually.
Right, yeah.
So I decided before I wanted to be a nurse.
So that's what you wanted to be from a very early age?
Yes.
What was your dad like?
Womanizer.
Oh, was he?
But kind to everybody, very generous. And he was into the black market a bit because this house, he bought a house when we came home before the end of the war.
Yeah.
And it was called a Burnham Cottage. And then he bought next door.
Yeah.
Which was the old Hull Farm, which my grandfather had. And he rented to them for £1 a week in those days. It was a big house. It's in the book, in the Auld Lang Syne book.
Yeah.
It's the oldest house in Morton.
Wow.
1719 it was built.
So when you say he was, what, like black markets, as in like the one who's, who can get you anything if you want it?
When we came back and he was a long distance driver for Miller's then in Liverpool, as well as being, when British Road Service started, he was there in charge for the North West.
Yeah.
But at that point, he was a driver for Miller's and they used to take stuff to London docks during the war.
Yeah.
And at the docks, they used to take a box off of whatever it was and fill it with stones because they said more often than not it sunk anyhow.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And then divided between the men.
Gotcha.
So we had behind our piano at home. Mother was terrified of it, really. Huge butter, like you used to get that you chopped up.
Oh, like a huge...
And she gave it to all the neighbours.
Yeah.
And we had, under the bed when we arrived home, was a box of Fife's bananas under our bed. And they were green and we couldn't wait for them to ripen because we hadn't had a banana for years. And then in these secret panels in the oak room at the old house, we had secret panels.
Yeah.
And he knocked on one and the next one opened. And in there he stored anything that he brought, not butter, obviously, butter was, he couldn't put that in there, but anything that he got that was sweets and things, Barker and Dobson sweets, he had jars of them. There was things he got. He said the only thing they never brought, he delivered once, was coffins, and he said we never took any of those.
Yeah, that's got to be the, there's got to be superstition about nicking a coffin.
Yeah, hasn't it? But the police came and knocked at the door.
Yeah.
And they said, Joe, we've heard you've got some tea and sugar, which let us have some. So we never had any problem. You used to keep them in.
Yeah, there you go.
In Chadwick Street.
That's very much the wise way to do things.
It is.
After school must have been nursing college, was it?
I went straight to Alder Hey when I was 16.
Oh, really? So yeah. Does that mean you learned on the job?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's an experience. Honestly, in 1948, we had to boil the needles up and they had little horrible ends on them.
Well, 1948, that was the start of the NHS, wasn't it?
It started in July and I started in September. And I was the first cadet at Alder Hey. I was a cadet because I didn't stay to do GCSEs. I was so anxious to get into the nursing. The matron said, we're starting a new course and you can... And there was two of us went as cadets at Alder Hey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So starting at Alder Hey at age 16.
Yes.
Was that a big culture shock again? That's a whole new world again for you, isn't it?
It was very...
But was it exciting?
Yes, but the discipline was terrible. But even so, we laughed a lot when we were off duty. Then I was a cadet till March,
yeah,
1949, and then I went into PTS, which was the preliminary training school, for 3 months. Mm. And then my first year, because I'd been a cadet, they put me on nights. So I did 7 months on nights, 12-hour nights for 7 nights, and then got a day off. And then
that's crazy hours.
I know.
Firemen get 4 days on, 4 days off.
Oh, yeah, you never got that then.
That's crazy.
But then, before my nights had finished, I should have only been on 3 months. I don't know why I was missed, but it was. And some of the things that happened on that night duty, when I think about it, I was in charge of 20-odd boys, and about seven were on the balcony because they had TB bones or TB spine. And they had to have their hot water bottles filled every 2 hours at their feet. They had socks on and they were on frames.
Yeah.
So you had to put hot water bottles. Well, that was an item to do. Me on my own with those 20 children.
You can't have been a lot older than some of them.
No, I wasn't. And the Knight Sisters' office was on that ward. It was F2 and it was an orthopaedic ward.
Yeah.
And I had about four cots.
Yeah.
So I had to feed the cot babies, obviously. And the others were beds.
Yeah.
I mean, the rules, when I think about it, it was ridiculous. They wouldn't do it today. It became six nights and then one off. So it, instead of getting the same every week, you got a change.
Yeah.
So that was a bit better. And the Knight Sisters in the side office used to come on duty and used to say, "Well, you keep these boys quiet." Well, some of them were 15.
Yeah.
You know, how could I keep them quiet?
Because you were 16.
I was only 16. So what I did, all the blooming money I got, I bought penny comics.
Yeah.
And took them in to keep
them
quiet.
Out of your own pocket?
Out of my own pocket.
Wow.
And then the sisters would do a round. Well, the work we had to do, it was at least 4 o'clock before you sat down to do the report.
Yeah.
Because you were so busy. And then in the morning on this particular ward, when sister came on, she came on like a battleship with a hat right out here in full bloom. And you had to leave your, what did they thought you did with them? You had to count the spoons, the forks and the knives and write them down. And the pieces were soap. Pieces of soap in a receiver. And you had to write them in an infantry book. Don't know what she thought you'd do with them. Then you had to boil the face cloths, boil the teats, boil the needles and boil the syringes in a, like a steamer thing.
About
And because she was so busy, I burnt the face cloths. When she came on, you could smell it. They were made out of lint. She kept me on duty till dinner time to make new the six that had been damaged. To do blanket stitch, honestly, round them. She sat me doing plan. It was 12 o'clock. And she said to me one
so
more.
That sounds like the most comprehensive job where you did everything. So you're not
did.
Only. So you're sewing.
Yeah.
You're a sewing machine doing seamstress work on the stuff that you. Oh my God.
And she said to me one morning when she came home, "You haven't washed these children." I said, "I have." Because you had to wash them all and you did one side and an orderly came to do one side of bed with you.
Mm.
And that was stupid because they were on frames and she wanted us to, we had to turn the mattress.
Yeah.
So that's why you needed another one. But in turning the mattress, you weren't doing anything because they were on a frame.
Right.
So I said, this is ridiculous because I hadn't that much to do, I'm not doing it. And what did she do? She put banana, orange peel under the mattress to check. But I got wise and went round looking for the orange peel. You know, I mean,
crafty old bugger.
They were terrible. And she came in this morning.
It sounds like some of the stories I've heard about, about you know, army training and the. But it sounds just as disciplined and hardcore as that.
But the thing was also, when she came in and she said, "Oh, you haven't washed them," I said, "I have asked the big boys because they would snitch on you."
Yeah.
So I always left them to be washed last. If anybody woke up and wanted a bedpan at 4 o'clock, I washed them because I never had time. I mean, when you think what you had to do, it was absolutely ludicrous.
Mm.
And I said, "I have asked the big boys." She said, "Don't answer me back. You haven't." She said, "This soap is dry." This was 8 o'clock. I've been washing them since 4:30 in the morning.
Of course it's dry.
She said, "You haven't. This soap is dry." You ever heard anything so stupid?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. And another night I went on duty and it had on the board with both Maureens. There was another Maureen, possibly.
Oh, OK.
Report to matron. We thought, gosh, what have we done? So she said, we went, she said, she always called us my child, but it was my children if there was more, my children.
Mm.
She was very nice, the matron, really. "I want you to both special a child in an iron lung because if it fails, you'll have to pump it."
Yeah.
On isolation, the child had polio.
She said you have to special. Does that mean...
Yes, stay with them all night between you.
Yeah.
So one would go for a break and then it would relieve.
Right.
And in between, if we needed to do anything, we needed to do it together.
Yeah.
So we had gowns on, masks, and all we spent all night. She was four.
And this is two Maureens?
The two Maureens,
right, yeah.
Maureen Bottomley and me.
Yeah.
And the child wanted stories all night. We kept turning the pages and talking. She never seemed to sleep and she was in this iron lung. Anyhow, it didn't fail. But the next morning at breakfast, this other Maureen said, don't feel very well, I've got a sore throat. She was dead the next day. Polio. Quartered off the child. 19, she was older than me, but she started training at 18.
That's something
Is that terrible?
That's something I hadn't thought about. At that age, at 16, dealing with when...
Well, I was 17 then.
Well,
she was 19, she was older than me.
But at a tender age, really.
Dealing
with
that.
Dealing with little kids who you become attached to.
Yeah.
That must have been heartbreaking.
Yeah, but the one who was dead was the nurse.
Oh!
The nurse died. At breakfast, she said to me, I don't feel very well. The little girl lived another 4 weeks. The girl died, 19, an only child. Her father was a police sergeant in Liverpool. We all had to go to the funeral. I mean, it was terrible.
Oh, my God.
To think that she caught it off the child because we hadn't got any other polios in at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was taken to Fazakerley and hers had hit her chest straight away. And they did a tracheotomy, but she died. And she just got engaged, actually.
Oh, my God.
She was an only child, 19, Maureen Bottomley was her name.
But
I mean, today she'd have got million. Their family would have got.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, things like that just didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But
You don't. It's just that's you wouldn't have questioned the authority then. You would have said, "Well, that's it. That's that."
Terrible. An only child.
But that does make me think. With you being, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. That must have been your first experience of getting attached to younger kids and then not pulling through.
Oh, yes.
That must have been awful.
We had a lot on the isolation wards because we had gastroenteritis in and then.
Yeah.
And there was not much cure for it in those days. They used to put them on drips and it wasn't very pleasant because they cut down. Today it just goes straight into the thing, but in those days they cut down to put the drips in. And when I look back, I mean, there was an improvement because when I look back reading the night reports of past, they were just all died. So it was got better.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I suppose,
it
does.
But it was horrible giving them the injections of streptomycin because the needles were so blunt. I used to hate putting them into them because it was so blunt. And we got so attached because they were in a long time. Some of the children were in 3 and 4 years with TB.
Oh, my God, really?
On frames, yes. One little boy particularly, I remember, it was 4 years. And they became like, we had a teacher.
Yeah.
They used to do some hours in the morning. But they became like your family. You got so attached to them.
Yeah. Well, for that long.
Yes.
That just wouldn't happen now, would it?
Oh,
you do home care.
You wouldn't be in.
No.
But it was quite... It was a good learning experience.
Yeah. But I know you said you had a real laugh as well.
We laughed a lot off duty.
Yeah.
I was with Anita Batan, who was courting Ken Dodd.
Really?
Yes, we worked together, and she was marvellous with the kids.
So it was Ken Dodd's girlfriend?
The first one.
His first... Wife,
Anita.
Was it?
No, he never married her.
Oh.
He was engaged for 16 years to her.
Really? That is a long engagement.
Yes.
That's longer than some of his gigs.
He's never married. Yeah, he's never married this one. But he is going to because he's a sir now, isn't he? To give her the lady title.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he used to come to all our dances, you see, because he was caught in Anita.
And was he famous then?
No, well, he used to go around clubs then. And then he went to the Floral Pavilion at New Brighton. I used to see him there with
him.
But when Anita was my friend, as well as others, we used to move up in the homes as she became more senior. And as I became third year, ready for my exams, I slept on the ground floor. So she untied the box. We had blocks so people couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we never had any worries in those days anyhow, but we did have blocks on the wall. And she unscrewed them and said... she would come in late. You were only allowed one pass a week.
Oh, so she unscrewed them so she could see.
She used to come in over my bed, and she was quite a big girl. You know, she was quite a big girl. And I'd feed this body of me in the middle of the night. It was her coming in. Yeah, she used to go around the clubs with him.
And so she used to untie those blocks so she could circumvent the curfew.
She used to unscrew them.
And sneak in after.
Sneak in the middle hours of the night.
That's appalling behaviour. I hope you never did anything like that.
No, I didn't, actually.
Did you stay as a hospital nurse?
No, I didn't. I stayed at Alder Hey until then I went to do general because what happened, we all went to have our fortune told from
did you?
Six of us. And we went to this lady's, knocked on the front door, and we said, somebody told us about, it was 2 and 6. We've come to have our photo. Well, they chased us. They said, you don't say that. They'll have the police say, go around the back.
Why? Was it not allowed?
No, it wasn't allowed, fortune telling.
Really?
No. Have the police here.
She I didn't know that.
I didn't either till then. And she said, go around the back.
Do a secret knock.
Yeah. So we went around the back, the six of us. It was funny, this. And knocked on the... And when we went in, they had the most magnificent toys and obviously made a lot of money out of it, because I believe they started in a hut in Old Swan.
Right.
And it was threepence a time then, so it had gradually gone up and it was 2 and 6 by the time we got there. And she said to me, give me something. And I gave her a pen and she said, I get nursing with this. Well, we'd all come together and the only place, we weren't sort of dressed up fancy, you know, like so you would be going to dance. She knew we were nurses.
So you were sceptical?
Yes, I was very sceptical. And she said, oh, you're not staying at that hospital, you know, are you going to another hospital? I said, oh, well, I will eventually, obviously, I'd be going to another hospital.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, matron sent for the sick. I said, this is the most peculiar. And she said, I thought, oh, she'd known we've gone to the fortune teller, we've been in trouble. We all thought the same, we were all standing there. And she said, my child, there's a new course started, my children. What does she have us in one at a time? Anyhow, whatever.
Mm.
She said, there's a new course starting, and because you were so young starting, you can go into the general hospital, have your general training, come back here and sit your children's exam.
Yeah.
So we sat both, you see, and it was called a new 4-year course because we were so young.
Yeah.
So that's what she wanted us for. She didn't know about the fortune teller. But that woman was right.
But that meant the fortune teller was right.
Said,
and there's you scoffing, going, oh, of course I'll go to a different hospital. Wow.
Yes. So then I went to Smithdown Road Hospital. It was Smithdown Road then. It then became Sefton. It's closed now. And I did my general there.
Did you ever have any difficult, you know, really difficult patients that stick out in your mind?
A friend, Angela, and I were on the surgical ward, and we were giving washouts for 3 nights before they had partial gastrectomies, which is part of the stomach removed. And we had to give them a washout each night and leave the tube down on the last night.
Yeah.
And my friend was in the next, they were next to each other. The man, we always use surnames, was called Nelson. That was his surname. I can't remember what the other fellow was next door. And we both had curtains round and I had the tray ready and I was trying to get him to swallow it, and sometimes you had to put it up the nose because it was rubber.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 foot long, 36 inches.
Oh, God.
It was a heck of a long thing. And it had a little hole at the top. And Angela had said to swallow this, and I was saying, you know, you've got to swallow. And she turned around to ask me something through the curtains. And when she turned back, she said, have you swallowed it? And he said, yes. So she said, well, where is it? The end? You'd expect it to see the end sticking out.
Yeah.
And he said, you told me to swallow it.
Oh, no.
He swallowed the whole lot.
Oh.
I don't know how he must have had a heck of a swallow.
Did you work at the circus?
This one had been in the Navy. I don't know what the other had been. And he said, you told me to swallow it. I mean, he must have had a terrific swallow, and she didn't believe him, so we got him out of bed. Well, I didn't. Took the pillows off, looked under the mattress. He was adamant he'd swallowed it. And she was saying, Angela said, oh, what shall I do? I said, oh, I'll ring Mr. Beatty. So I got on the phone and I rang Mr. Beatty, and said, I'm sorry, but we've got a patient. He said, swallowed the whole tube. I said, yes. So he said, oh, don't worry, put another one down. I'll get it out tomorrow when I operate. And it was, he had to go down to theatre. She went down with him and she said it was all curled up in the stomach.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So he'd swallowed
it. He had swallowed
it. So he'd eaten it.
He'd eaten it, really.
Oh, my God.
And in seconds, well, it appeared seconds. It might have been minutes by the time she chatted to whatever she asked me. I can't remember. So that was the one that I remember. I remember a lot of the babies. You know, I was quite fond of the babies.
Yeah.
They moved one and one.
That's been a real theme with you, hasn't it, looking after the babs?
Yes, babies, yeah, all along.
Yeah.
Even when I came home to Morton,
yeah,
I looked after all the kids around there. I worked at the Radium Hospital in Liverpool before it was It's down now. It's gone.
Oh, okay.
And I was there to close the night. I was a night sister, and I was there to close it at night. And it moved to Clatterbridge.
Right.
Because the cobalt machine was coming and it couldn't be used in the city. But now it's thinking of coming back, but it won't be the cobalt. I think that's old now. And one of the men in the hostels had a mould on with his radium.
Yeah.
And they were allowed out in the day, but they weren't to go amongst a lot of people. And he went, I think it was either to the Philharmonic or cinema.
Yeah.
And lost it. So they had to bring the people, the Geiger counters in to check it.
Oh, because he'd taken radioactive material out to a... Oh, my God.
And I believe it went... It was caught at Lewis's. That was the tale. Now, he got to Lewis's and the radium missing.
He probably sold it to some bomb makers or something.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But they
God.
Said they got it down to Lewis's drain. Was it Lewis's drain? They found it. I think they found it.
Oh,
that
so,
was
so,
the story.
Oh, that's good. So it made it to the water supply.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's all right then.
Yeah.
Panic over.
Yeah.
God, blimey. Yeah. I think possibly because of the experience you had as an evacuee and being in want of things and needing looking after, it sounds like you've had a life of looking after people
I
and
have.
Making it your business too.
Yeah. Yes, I have, but I don't mind that. We're still doing it.
Yeah, we're still. It's still a very noble thing to do, isn't it? It's the best thing you can do.
I'm going to put your soup on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you want me to, or do you want to? You must be dry.
Oh no, I've got my tea.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right. All right,
still
that's
only,
all right.
Still only halfway down my cup.
Okay.
But yeah. That's very kind of you, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a feeder. There you go, you see.
So
you're looking
if you've
after.
Been starved, you do.
Well, I think it's safe to say I'm not starved.
No. No, but that's what happened to me, I think, because of those years of being without.
So how long were you a health visitor for?
From 1963 to 92.
So you must...
I've seen a lot.
You must have been a health visitor for... You must be constantly seeing... Because my mum was a practice sister.
Yes.
So she's always seeing patients of hers around town. You must get that all the time.
Oh, I do. I had... When I did midwifery at Mill Road in Liverpool...
Yeah.
I was in London Road and this woman said, "Hey, George," this husband was, "Hey, George, this is a girl and nearly frightened to death. She had the baby down the toilet." And... And it had red hair, I always remember it. And I was trying to hold the baby and hair as well to get to the... That was while I was doing midwifery. I had some sad things in midwifery really. I had a case in Birkenhead, the big new high-rise.
Yeah.
They were just built, those high-rise plates at Woodchurch.
Right, yes.
Yeah? They're all painted, I think, now, I don't know. And they put families in there, and I delivered quite a few babies there.
Mm.
And I delivered this baby sort of late in the evening, wrapped everything up and put it... And they'd only just moved in. They were only new to the property and put my apron and whatever I had and swabs and things in this brown bag. And when I got there the next day to see to her, opened the bag and the cockroaches that crawled out were terrible.
Oh.
And it had only just been built. Terrible. I had one girl who was definitely a prostitute. Oh, and that was funny. I went there and she'd lost about, had six miscarriages. She said she wanted to keep this baby. I said, "Well, if you want to keep it, Maxine, you're going to have to stop doing, being a working lady."
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, don't worry, I only do a blowjob now." Straight out with it. She said, "Don't worry." She said, "No worry there." And, you know, I thought, my God, at Birkenhead Docks, she said.
Yeah.
Against the railings or something. Oh. You know, they tell you things that you wouldn't dream.
Well, I bet you've heard some things because it is, it's like a priest confessional, isn't it? They know you're not going to say anything, so you must hear that a lot.
Oh, yes, you do. Yeah. And when I was working in Ellesmere Port as a health visitor, I worked there first before I went to Wirral. I went to Eastham then when Ian was two because I wanted to do less time. And when I was out one day with my husband and this lady came. She said, you know my husband, don't you? Yes, I do. Will you have a look? He's outside. He's wanting... She was in Woolworths at the time.
Yeah.
She said, he's wanting some money off me and I don't want to give it to him. So I had to go out, have a look with my husband, and then go back in and tell him, Pops, we get no peace when we go shopping. They're coming up all the time asking you things. You know?
So you had a long career as a health visitor. Was it hard to stop? Was it hard to stop doing that?
No, I did stop because my husband was so ill. And right. then I went back for a little while, doing 2 days at different places. So that was quite good because I'd be 2 days in the dock area in Birkenhead. Because
yeah.
one day I was doing injections because they hadn't come for the injections. I did them at home.
Yeah.
And I was going, two little lads said to me, we had a Mercedes car at the time.
Yeah.
We shared it, but we had this. And two little lads said, do you want me to look after your car, missus? I said, no, it'll be all right. It's only, I'm only going to be a minute. They said, well, you'll have no tyres when you come back. So I had to give them £1, you know.
Yeah, so they didn't nick your tyres.
So they didn't.
Do you know what? I think that's enterprising.
Oh, yes, they were. They'll
be millionaires now, them lads.
I had another family there in Birkenhead and I was annoyed with her because I used to spend every morning. I went to see a new baby and she had two others and she had this dog with puppies and I could see the puppies weren't getting, well, the dog wasn't getting fed. So I used to go, I was on a moped then, so that's the early years after it finished, I was on the moped.
Yeah.
And I used to call at the pet shop in Oxton and buy pet food. And when I got there, she'd often be out, she'd already gone out, left all these animals. And I put it through the letterbox, the food, and they'd all come running every morning,
yeah.
running to the door, and I'd throw all this food through loose because it didn't matter, the place was like a tip anyhow. So the food was going through. Oh, I must tell you this bit about the lady who used to, she lived in with her mother over the balcony and wanted to keep the baby and was a working girl, she called herself.
Yeah.
What's your occupation, working girl? Well, you know what they're up to.
Yeah.
And I went and she said, they said, oh, sit down. And mother was there. And I sat on and I said, Tina, went down. There was nothing there. There was just the top. And I was in a hole with my knees up like this, trying to talk to them. And I thought, I'm going to get out of this. But it was like a blooming comedy. And then the next time I went, there was all, it was near.
It must have been like sitting in a barrel.
It was sitting in a hole. I sit down. They said, sit on. I said, I thought. Anyhow, the next time I went in the hall, as I went in, was all these boxes with Cindy and different things on like that, big boxes. And I said, oh, it was near Christmas time.
Mm.
And her mother seemed agitated, very red-faced, and was in and out. And I said, what's wrong with your mum? Because she was always quite chatty. She said, oh, she'd been in the jail all night. They've let her out this morning. She said, see all those boxes? She pinched them from Asda with my fella. I've been in Astro.
Nicked all the Barbie dolls.
All the Barbie dolls ready for Paige. They had a little girl called Paige.
Yeah.
It wasn't the prostitute's one, it was the mother's.
Yeah.
I suppose it was hers. Well, she said it was.
But she managed to keep the booty, so.
No, they came for it later.
Oh, did they? Oh.
They had to send something. Yeah, into Astro. Pinched all the stuff. Oh, they used to tell you some awful things, really.
Yeah. So after a career.
Yeah.
Or after a lifetime of looking after people. When you stopped being a health visitor, did you find it hard to switch that off? I bet you're still helping people.
I was looking after, I still was until two of them have died, but there was three I was looking after.
Yeah.
I'm still going to one, but she's in a home now.
So it's, and that's just socially and just because you can't switch
it
off.
I go and see her each week.
Yeah.
I was seeing two others, but they both died too. So, but one of them, that was a neighbour for years, and she was a very, more like a school teacher type, very sedate type of woman, and very precise, really, very ladylike. And she when she became not confused, she wasn't confused, but on this day I went to see her in the hospital, and she said, I've been waiting for you. Never aggressive, but she was. She said, you've ruined this country, what are you going to do about it? She said to me. You've ruined this country. What are you going to do about it? I said, well, Beatrice, I don't think I can do very much about it. She said, well, in that case, it's the end of a very nice friendship. And she sat for the whole hour.
What did she mean?
She thought it was Margaret Thatcher, I think.
Oh, my God.
At the time, I don't know what it was. So she was a little bit of dementia,
and so she thought you were Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, never spoke to me for the whole of this. It was quite funny, really, because she wasn't like that at all. She just had these moments when she went a bit.
Did she talk to you again when John Major
took over? Oh, yes, after. It was long after that. Yeah, she was very, yeah.
Bless her heart. Well, I have to say, I can see why you looked after people and why you were so good at it and why you couldn't ever switch that off from back when you're evacuated. That's informed and that's coloured your whole life, hasn't it?
Oh, it has, really.
Yeah. What would you say is the piece of advice that, you know, that's most stuck with you or the lesson that you've, the most valuable lesson you learned across your years?
Well, to be kind to everybody, really. Is one of the main things. And not always understanding, really, of how people have the past that they've had that has caused the problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
That's very true. Maureen, thank you very much for having me.
That's all right. It's a pleasure.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.